Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we invite you to give us a call tonight. Our telephone lines are open. You can call 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the radio here this evening. And, of course, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And let's go ahead and open our program this evening with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity we have to be on the air tonight. Pray you bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing to somebody tonight, to point people that are searching to Christ, to encourage believers in our walk with you, and also that we can lift up and glorify Christ in all that we do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. As I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And you can find us online, livewithpastoral.com. You can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, there at that webpage as well. You can also check out some of our social media sites that we're on. Have a number of them listed there at livewithpastoral.com. And, of course, we have some past programs and things there. I wanted to point out that last week I did, in the beginning, sort of an opening monologue talking about the situation with Russia and the Ukraine, and some speculation about how that might fit in with what the Bible tells us in Ezekiel 38 with the coming or the future invasion of Russia and other countries into Israel. And again, it is kind of interesting when we see what's happening there. A lot going on there. I'm going to touch on that in a minute here too. But you can find that audio from that monologue online at livewithpastoral.com. And let's see, a couple other things I want to mention here before we get started. We certainly invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church if you're looking for a church home or preach the Bible and take the time to actually study it, see what it has to say, how it affects us in our lives. And you can find out more about us there. Like I said, just go to livewithpastoral.com and link over to our home church for the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Well, again, as I was saying, there's a lot going on right now in the world, and it's one of those times it's hard to pick out exactly what to start with, but a couple of things that came across the wire just today. Boris Johnson, he, of course, is the prime minister in Great Britain. Great Britain, of course, is telling their people to pull out of the Ukraine. If there's any British people who are there, that they should be trying to move out of Ukraine. But Boris Johnson is warning today that Russia is planning the largest war in Europe since 1945. Of course, that's during World War II. And, of course, Russian tanks are moving in. NATO has a bunch of troops raised the readiest level, thousands of troops in parts of Europe, but we've got people stationed over there, of course, in Germany, and we've put troops in Poland and different places, it's a tinderbox. So we need to pray for things that are happening in the world and keep an eye on what's happening there. Saw an interesting thing this past week where they showed the Russian embassy in Kiev and it had smoke pouring out of the chimney. People were saying, what's going on with the Russian embassy? Well, let me tell you, having had a past life, so to speak, dealing with classified material during my time in the United States Air Force, one of the things that we had as our contingency plan, and I'm not giving away any secrets by saying this, that if our base was being overrun, is you were to destroy all classified materials and equipment. And in order to do so, of course, you would burn classified documents. So this is my speculation. If Russia's planning on doing something, it would seem reasonable to expect that you would see smoke pouring out of the Russian embassy there in Kiev, in Ukraine, because they would be burning up the classified documents that they have in their files because they're anticipating something happening and they don't want those documents to be found. So that's just my speculation based on some of what I did in the past when I was in the Air Force. But also another thing that's interesting, and this just came across the wires this evening as well, and Secretary of State Antony Blinken is insisting now that Putin's threat to invade Ukraine is, quote, deadly serious. There was a report today on CBS, I believe it was, that U.S. intelligence has found that Putin has already given the orders for the Russian troops to invade Ukraine, and we're basically expecting that this is getting ready to happen. And now we don't know that it is for sure. This has just been a lot of speculation here. And if the orders have been given, it doesn't mean they're underway as of yet. Certainly it's about 7 in the morning over in Moscow right now, and that would make Kiev, I'm not sure whether it be 7 in the morning or 6 in the morning, but interesting, when you're looking at all these things, Russia closed the airspace over the Sea of Azov, and I'm sure everybody knows exactly where the Sea of Azov is. I mean, that's something, just talking about it just recently, the Sea of Azov. Actually, I was, because we were talking about this a little bit after church tonight. But Russia closed the airspace over the Sea of Azov beginning at midnight, and that I'm assuming is midnight Russian time or Moscow time, which would mean that it was closed about 7 hours ago. If it's midnight our time, Eastern Standard Time, then that would mean in just under an hour it is supposed to be closed. But whatever the case is, Russia's Aeronautical Information Center issued a notice to airmen. NOTAM, that's what they call it, N-O-T-A-M, a notice to airmen on Sunday saying that most of the airspace over the Sea of Azov is going to be closed starting at midnight between Sunday and Monday. And again, when we see this happening and we have the United States, Great Britain, and other countries warning and or speculating that Russia is poised to invade Ukraine. And I guess they've had some of these NOTAMs issued closing portions of the airspace over the Black Sea and earlier this week. And so we've got this one with the Sea of Azov. As I said, everybody, I'm sure, knows exactly where the Sea of Azov is. You're probably very familiar with it. Well, maybe not. Just to give you an idea, when we're looking at the Black Sea, and the Black Sea is on the southern side of Ukraine. Ukraine is at the northern end of the Black Sea. And from the Ukraine, you have the Crimean Peninsula that comes down from the central part of Ukraine into the Black Sea. And it arches around and it connects over to Russia in south central Russia, just north of Georgia, the Central Asian Republic of Georgia. And that little arc there, and by the way, the Crimean Peninsula was a part of Ukraine until, I want to say 2016, but it was during the Obama administration. During the Obama administration, Putin realized that the United States government wasn't going to do much to oppose them and that they could get away with a lot of things. And so they annexed the Crimean Peninsula. They just basically took over a section of Ukraine and claimed it for their own. Well, The Crimean Peninsula, as I said, comes down from south-central Ukrainian coastline in the Black Sea, and then it kind of curves around a portion of it over toward the Russian coastline. And that little area of water that it encloses sort of to the north side, north-northeastern side of the Black Sea, is a body of water. And that body of water is called, well, there it is, the Sea of Azov. So now you know where it's at. So it's totally encircled by Russia and Ukraine. No other countries border it. Russia to the east and the Crimean Peninsula to the south and west, and Ukraine to the north encircling the Sea of Azov. And that's the area where the airspace has just been closed. And you say, well, why would they do that? Well, if you were planning military activity from Russia into Ukraine, that's certainly a route that you might like to have free of civilian traffic. So it would appear that things are heating up over there. Also, Russia is planning major exercises, military exercises in Syria. So they've had one of their biggest naval forces heading into the Mediterranean in probably decades. And of course, a lot of that supposedly bringing troops and equipment up into the Black Sea to support a potential invasion of Ukraine, even though they're right on the border of Asia, or I'm sorry, Russia, and the Russians have access to Ukraine through the Black Sea, Sea of Azov, and across the Crimean Peninsula, as well as their common border on the east of Ukraine and through Belarus on the north of Ukraine. But as I speculated last week, still speculating this week, it's giving Putin a valid reason in the eyes of most of the world to increase the presence of Russian troops, Russian military equipment in Syria. They have some air bases there. They control a large port in the northern coastline of Syria on the Mediterranean. And could this be something where Putin is getting everybody's attention focused on Ukraine and hoping that eventually, as he gets the world's attention up there, he can perhaps spark an invasion moving into, maybe he would call it an annexation of Israel. Who knows? Bible says in Ezekiel 38 that God will put hooks in his mouth and pull him down there. So we can talk about some more of that maybe later on, but I didn't want to go completely through what we talked about last week. But just a lot going on there. Of course, the Olympics ended today. There was speculation that the invasion and the takeover of Ukraine, and when I say invasion, it's not like they're going to just necessarily destroy the whole country. They're just going to control it, probably set up a puppet government that will be loyal to Putin and Russia. But regardless, we know that there's some evidence, or I should say there's some evidence suggesting that they wanted to wait until after the Olympics was over, and that ended today. So again, another possibility, and another hot spot, speaking of the Olympics being over, is some speculation is that China has its eyes on Taiwan. And they didn't want to move on Taiwan until the Olympics was over. And once the world's attention was off from the Olympics, then they might make their move on Taiwan. And China right now basically sees something just like Putin does in Russia. They see a feckless, weak government in the United States. They see a military that's more intent on navel gazing and rooting out racism and non-wokeness in the military rather than concentrating on real military issues. They see a Department of Homeland Security that's more concentrated on domestic terrorists that are purveying dis, and malinformation. I shared that report, Department of Homeland Security report from February 7th, National Terrorism Advisory System Bulletin, that's in effect until June 7th. And basically pointing out people with misleading, false or misleading narratives and conspiracy theories and other forms of mis, dis, and malinformation. And, well, online, on the air, wherever. But at any rate, yeah, the United States is not considered a credible threat, I guess, by Russia or China so much right now, and that's why Russia and China are on the move. So that's another area. And then, of course, if that's not enough, we've got the Iranians who were rattling and showing off their missiles recently, named after the village where Mohammed killed the Jews. And so why would Iran field a new missile named after a village where Mohammed killed the Jews? It's part of their psychological operation against Israel. And, of course, they're fomenting terrorists and military activities in Yemen against Saudi Arabia, and they're attacking some of the United Arab Emirates, Dubai, places like that. Other countries, some of the Arab countries that have signed peace agreements and things with Israel, and a lot of stuff came out of the Trump administration where Russia and China were quiet and Iran was quiet on a lot of these things. And the Saudi Arabia and some other Arab countries saw things that were happening in Israel, and the climate suggested to them it would be a good time to sign trading agreements. We got the Abrahamic Accords, and so we see, coincidentally, Saudi Arabia and then looking at the United Arab Emirates, looking at some of those places around there, in Dubai and places, this would be the Sheba and Dedan that we see in Ezekiel chapter 38, the Sheba and Dedan being part of the group of nations that opposes the Russian invasion, the Gog Magog invasion of the Middle East. And so it's kind of interesting when you look at that. They're, of course, allied with the merchants of Tarshish, which would be probably Great Britain, Spain, France, Portugal, and the young lions thereof, which would look like America, Canada, and some of the colonies that were, you know, that became independent countries. But all a lot of it are very interesting things that are happening. I know we went through a lot of this really quick. Hadn't really intended on spending so much time on this. It's just that there's so much happening in the world, happening in the Middle East right now, happening in other parts of the world. And certainly our prayers go out for our friends in Canada. Another thing that's happening, the Canadian government, of course, cracking down on the Freedom Convoy, and it's just been shocking to see the heavy-handed tactics that have been used. The poor woman that was trampled by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police horses, and then to see the video that was aired online showing some of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police officers in a restaurant or diner, whatever, making jokes about this poor woman that was trampled, and fortunately she survived. She was not killed, but it's certainly pray for people up there, and they're cracking down on things. When Pastor Arthur Pawlowski, that we've talked about before in the past, been arrested, thrown into solitary confinement, different things going on that's there. And then, of course, there's I'm gonna cut it off there because we do have some callers waiting to get on. I could go for a while here talking about some of this stuff, but if I've said something that sparked your interest or questions, and you would like to give us a call here tonight, you can give us a call, like I said, You can call 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we certainly invite you to give us a call here tonight. And we are going to go ahead and pick up our phone callers here tonight. I believe we had, let's see, Nancy's been waiting the longest. So, Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. I really missed coming Friday, but we weren't able to come, you know, because of the weather.
Yeah, it was a little icy in places and such.
Yeah, we didn't want to take a chance, and we missed pizza night.
Oh, yes. And for those that are listening, our Friday night Bible study, periodically we have to meet in the breakfast room at the Holiday Inn Express, because we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. Our church doesn't have a building. We're a small church, and so we've been meeting temporarily, of course, in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express since April of 2009, I believe it was. So we're still there temporarily. And there's a group that's been there longer than us, and so they bump us every once in a while. And this weekend was the weekend. So we've been lately, when we have the opportunity, or when we're in the breakfast area, because it's kind of a challenge to meet in there, just as a nice thing to do to make it a little nicer, we get pizza from East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. And so one of the guys that comes, he picked up the pizza for us. And let me just take a moment here to point you to East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. They're one of our sponsors. And if you've never been there, if you like pizza, you got to try them. You can give them a call, East Coast Pizza, at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And they're right across from the Garfield Heights High School on Turney Road. The address is, let's see here, 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. They're directly across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Give them a call, 216-341-9100. And so we had four of their sheet pizzas. I think we had three pepperoni and one cheese pizza. And, we didn't have too much left.
So anyhow, my question tonight, I am just astounded at Trudeau's, like you said, heavy-handed tactics, how he's been like the worst dictator I can even think of that's not in a communist country, although I think that probably Canada is almost like a communist country now. Is there any, can you think of any dictators in the Bible that are similar, who have instituted very cruel, taking away people's right to assemble, to protest, in the Bible? Can you think of any dictators similar to that? I know there's some really awful dictators like Herod that wanted all the, you know, baby, but something of that particular nature. And then, does the Bible show that this person was punished, in a really appropriate way?
Well,
any Bible dictator
first,
similar to Trudeau?
Yeah, the first dictator, and we use the term dictator, we're talking about somebody who basically wields absolute power or near absolute power. And as you were saying that, first person I could think of in the Bible, if you go to the book of Exodus, okay, and in the book of Exodus, it says in chapter 1, verse 7, Joseph's died, and in chapter 1 here, or the book of Exodus, verse 7, it says, "And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose," verse 8, "now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also with our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore did they set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them.
What chapter is it?
Chapter 1. Book of Exodus,
okay.
Chapter 1.
Okay.
And it says, the more they afflicted them in verse 12, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. Verse 13 says, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick and all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And what you're seeing here is this new Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And he looks at Israel as a threat, the people as a threat to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he begins putting them in servitude, in bondage. He makes heavy demands of them. He forces them to work, and they have taskmasters put over them. And we see this in tyrannical governments, not just what we see happening in Canada, but we see where the government officials, the ruling class, they look at the bulk of the people as a threat, and they have to be subdued. They have to be made to work. They have to be made to serve the state. They have to be made, let's put them this way, they have to be bent to the will of the state because they're a threat to the state. And in doing this, it just says here, they made to serve with rigor. Well, rigor gives us the word rigorous. And this means they're ruthless over them, making demands over them. And they certainly weren't giving them rights. They weren't giving them freedoms. They were taking freedom away from them. The Hebrews had a great deal of freedom because remember, when Joseph was alive, he interpreted the king's dream of the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine, and he was elevated to second in command over the kingdom, second only to Pharaoh, and his family came down. His father, Jacob came down, His father Jacob and Joseph's brothers came down, and all their families with them, their wives and their children and their servants, and they lived in the land of Goshen, and they prospered, and they were living there freely. They were free holders in that area, and they had a very good life, a protected life. And then Joseph died, and eventually a Pharaoh came along, as the Bible says, who knew not Joseph. He had no memory, direct memory of Joseph. He had no attachment to the Jewish people. Instead, he now viewed them as a threat, and he began to take away their freedoms. He began to rein them in, and eventually even went to the point where he told the midwives to, if they see a male child born, to throw it in the river to kill it. And and God raised up Moses in the midst of all this to deliver them. And certainly we know the 10 plagues. Of course, we don't have time to go through all the 10 plagues, but certainly the 10 plagues afflicted Egypt and Pharaoh, and eventually the final plague, and then they went out. Then even then Pharaoh came after them until God parted the waters of the Red Sea, and they passed over on dry ground. And that would have been, if you look at it, really from the Sinai Peninsula across the Gulf of Aqaba over into Saudi Arabia, because that's the only place that actually makes sense. Whole other area. And as they passed over, the Egyptians tried to come through with their army, and God brought the waters down on them and drowned them and destroyed the Egyptian army. So they did pay, but the big thing here was because they were persecuting God's chosen people, and God judged them for it. Now, in Canada, they have been restricting Christian churches and things. And
yes,
there's,
I did hear that.
Yeah, so I would not want to be Mr. Trudeau right now. I would not want to be in his shoes. And even if nothing happens to him in this life, without Christ and he stands before God at the great white throne judgment, what's he going to say then? Hey, we got another half hour to go. Okay. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Hi, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220 The Word, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here till midnight. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our telephone line is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can listen to some of our past programs. I've got some audio clips and things that are there. I was mentioning in the last half hour at the start of the program that I have some of the monologue from last Sunday separated out. You can listen to that there on Russia, the Ukraine, and Ezekiel 38. And then, of course, there's some other materials and things that are there that you can find all at livewithpastoral.com. And you can link to the page for our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and certainly invite you to come out and visit us. And I mentioned East Coast Pizza in the last half hour, but just again, remind you about them. 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School in Garfield Heights. Call them at 216-341-9100. All right, well, we're going to get back into our program. Again, lots happening in the world today. And I do think it's good for God's people to be aware of what's happening. Bible tells us that we're supposed to be watching and waiting for our Lord's return, and certainly watching and keeping tabs on what's happening in the world, I think, is a part of that. And so continue to keep an eye on the news, see what's happening over in Asia with Russia and Ukraine, what's happening in the Middle East with Iran and working through the Yemens and the Houthis, I believe it is, in Yemen. And different things happening there. And, of course, China, now that the Olympics are over, great concern about China and Taiwan. And but all of this, we know the Bible says you hear wars and rumors of wars. Jesus said in Luke 21, as we keep saying, he said, when you see these things begin to happen, he said, that's the time not to distress, not the time to despair, but that's the time to look up. For our redemption draweth nigh. All right, as like I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Terry on the line. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Good evening. Welcome.
Well, you set off a firecracker.
Well, there's just a lot going on right now. So,
oh, honestly, you know, I think the things wouldn't have happened if Trump was in.
Well, you know, and that is something I alluded to because Putin was kind of quiet. I mean, you know, it's funny. For 4 years, and of course, there's with the Durham reports that are coming out now, we now know, you know, it's beyond dispute that the source of all of this Russia collusion with Trump and all that was a fictitious thing designed by the Hillary Clinton campaign during that presidential campaign. And it was also, we had the Hillary campaign and the complicit Obama White House that was spying on a presidential campaign, the Trump campaign. Then when he was elected, they spied on the presidential or president-elect and his transition team. And now we know that when he was in office, they continued to spy on him. And this is highly illegal. I mean, when I was, you know, I know a little bit about the intel field from my time in the Air Force, and you're not supposed to spy on American citizens. And when an American citizen does get monitored or spied upon, you know, there's procedures that you're supposed to do because it's not supposed to happen. Certainly not by the CIA, not by the NSA, and not by military intelligence agencies and all of that. And yet here we had the Obama administration on working hand in glove with the Hillary Clinton presidential campaign back then in terms of weaponizing the United States intelligence apparatus to spy on American citizens in order to try and influence and change a presidential election. And you had complicit media that should have been alerting people, but they're complicit. They were working hand in hand with them on some of these things. And now they're trying to ignore it like it never happened. But I was going to say, for Trump being the one that supposedly was in bed with Putin, how come during the entire time that Trump was in office, you didn't see anything like this take place? You saw Russia advancing when Obama was in office, and now you see them advancing when Biden is in office. And we certainly know that the Biden administration, Biden himself and his son Hunter, are corrupt beyond belief. Yeah, they're in the pay of the Chinese, the Ukrainians, the Russians. Who knows who all they're, you know, remember the big man gets 10%. And of course that's a non-story in the legacy media out there. They don't want to touch that, you know. But anyway, what do I know? Sorry.
Well, I hope that your President Trump runs again, and I hope that he gets in.
I tell you what, I don't know the way things are going in the world if we have that much more time. And then look what's happening. You know, of course, our president, they're telling your prime minister to crack down, use force to crack down on the freedom protesters.
I know. It's
unbelievable.
That's one thing that Trudeau, that was the smartest thing I think Trudeau did do, is he didn't send the army in.
Well, but there's these disturbing reports of
took the advice of Biden, because Biden said, send the army in.
Yeah.
And crush them, eh?
Personally, I think Biden ought to be impeached for interfering with these events in Canada. That's what I think as an American. I think Biden ought to be impeached. That's our process.
He shouldn't have told our president.
No, that is unwarranted. And it's an egregious violation of his office to do that. That's horrible that he would do something like that. And
in Ukraine, like they tried to accuse him.
Yeah,
he was impeached for that.
Well, and there was when Biden in the Ukraine as vice president during the Obama administration, when he basically blackmailed the Ukrainian government, threatened to hold up $1 billion or more in military aid unless they got rid of the prosecutor that was investigating, I think it was Barista or whatever, the company that his son Hunter was getting thousands and thousands of dollars a month as a consultant in an oil industry, basically, which he had zero experience, except that he had a open door to the vice president's office. So Biden actually, there's the videos online about Biden joking about it with people, about how he told them, and sure enough, they fired the guy. So, and then he said they could have their money. He shouldn't be in that Oval Office. That's my feeling. But unfortunately, he is there.
He should be impeached, and you're right.
He ought to be. He ought to be.
But he tried to impeach your president, twice, Trump?
Yeah, with fake, no pun intended, trumped-up charges. Got a question for you, though, and this is a story that I've seen a couple of times in a couple of sources, UN airplanes have been landing at some airfields in northern parts of Canada and then bringing basically people into Ottawa and some of these other areas wearing military-like uniforms but no insignia and identification. Have you heard anything about these?
No. Vaguely remember something, or I might have heard something about that.
I was seeing something that then a couple of sources this past week. I didn't know if being up there, you might have heard something. Well, I'm sure that the CBC up there is broadcasting impartial information about everything, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. You can't believe everything they do, so that's for sure.
Yeah.
News. But, yeah, and, you know, like the last time anything like this was called, you know, like the emergency alert.
Mm-hmm.
It was when Trudeau, his dad was in office.
Mm-hmm.
That was in the October crisis in 1970, and that was under Pierre Trudeau when that happened.
Wow.
So, you know, that's just kind of odd, eh?
Yeah. Well, and I know a bunch of pastors had just recently, they sent a letter. I think it was a couple thousand pastors sent a letter to Trudeau, you know, basically imploring him to end the emergency and restore people's freedoms and walk back the vaccine mandates and things.
Yeah, that's what this is all about. And the truckers had enough. The world has enough.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, this has set off a firecracker all over the world. They people have taken notice of what's going on in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're basically doing the same thing.
You know, and, you know, here's Prime Minister Trudeau out there, you know, showing solidarity with the Black Lives Matters people, which is a terrorist organization. You know, they burn buildings down. They attack people. They've harmed people. I think some people are even dead as a result of their activities. He's out there with them, practically arm in arm with them, and yet he would not even give the time of day to come out and meet with some representatives of the truckers.
And talk to them, yeah.
Yeah, it's all he needed to do.
He was in hiding.
Well, you know,
I think he was in there.
He's a member of the World Economic Forum. And if people want to go online and look up the World Economic Forum and who was it, Klaus Schwab, that's the head of it there. And, you know, when you see the people that are there, here's just a list of some of the world leaders that are there. President Joe Biden, Prime Minister Boris Johnson, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, that's New Zealand, former Chancellor, Prime Minister, whatever, of Germany, Angela Merkel, President of France, Emmanuel Macron. Here's Xi, the Chinese Communist Party leader in China, Mario Draghi, and Prime Minister of Italy, Scott Morrison, Prime Minister of Australia, and here, of course, is Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada. These are people that essentially are part of the World Economic Forum, and the World Economic Forum is, let me give you a couple other people. The Governor of California, Gavin Newsom, the Governor of Washington State, Jay Inslee, the Speaker of the House here in the United States, Nancy Pelosi, are all members of World Economic Forum. And the World Economic Forum is they're working toward the Great Reset, which is supposed to collapse the world, collapse the world governments, collapse the world economies, and then they're going to rebuild the world and rebuild the world economy along their globalist plans. Klaus Schwab said that nobody will own any property, nobody will own anything, and you'll be happy about it. And this membership in the World Economic Forum, personally, I look at it, and I don't think that anybody that has a membership in the World Economic Forum should be allowed in the government of any country, because they're not working for that government. In the United States of America, the president, as well as the Speaker of the House, all of our government officials have to swear an oath to defend and protect the United States Constitution against all enemies, domestic and foreign. In fact, the presidential oath is in the Constitution itself. It's here in Article 2, Section 1, down toward the end of it. It says the presidential oath is, I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And every public official is to take a similar, not necessarily the same words, but a similar oath, swearing or affirming that we will defend the Constitution of the United States. Military, when I joined the United States Air Force, I had to take an oath to defend and protect and preserve the United States Constitution. And police officers take that oath. Now, somebody that's a member of the World Economic Forum, they're a member of an organization that's working to destroy the Constitution of the United States of America. And I would only think that their membership in the World Economic Forum is also working against the Canadian government as well. And so how somebody could be allowed into government that it maintains a membership in this subversive globalist organization is beyond me, but we know why. It's because all these top leaders are working for the World Economic Forum. They want to destroy their respective countries. How else do you explain the fact that Joe Biden just said he's extending the national health emergency, whatever the terminology is, that was supposed to expire on March 1st, that was put in place 2 years ago. He's decided to extend that. And then how else do you explain what Trudeau is doing in Canada, invoking this national emergency, rather than just talking with the people? Could it be that they're trying to carry out the dictates of the World Economic Forum rather than working for their respective countries? Just a thought on my part.
It's too like a one-world government, just like the Lord said it's going to happen.
Right. That's what their plan is.
And I think we should rejoice in a sense that these things are happening.
Well, like I said, Jesus said, yeah, he said, when you see these things begin to happen, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. So I'm not overwhelmed with it, but...
No, but I mean, these things must come to pass.
Yes.
For the Lord, before the Lord's return, so...
Yeah,
well... And sin shall be revealed.
Well, and the things are getting in place, I believe, for the Antichrist reign during the tribulation, the globalist government, and all of that. The devil knows his time is short. I believe he's working right now, and we see things that are happening that are lining things up more and more. Of course, people have said this in other times, but we have things today that we didn't have in the past. The nation of Israel and their control of Jerusalem and things like that, for one thing, is different than most of the rest of history where people have wondered. But yeah, so it's certainly something Christians need to be praying. Our time may be shorter than what we think. We need to be making plans for what we can do to reach people and to prepare. I think Christians ought to leave Bibles and good Christian books in their homes so that when the day comes that God does catch us out of here, we'll leave that stuff behind for people to find. So I really think that's something we ought to do. But
yeah, that's a good idea. That's what I do. I have a book sitting on my counter.
Yeah.
And just in case the Lord takes me, that somebody will find that.
I encourage people, buy a case of King James Bibles and just put them in the closet, and somebody will find them one day. So, but yeah, so
yeah, our premier is not doing much good either, Doug Ford.
Yeah, I know some of them are protesting, but of course, hasn't the parliament been suspended for the time as well?
Yeah, for temporary until this is approved.
Yeah. So that doesn't give them much opportunity to be able to review what the prime minister is doing. So we certainly pray for the people in Canada.
I think some of the provinces have already abandoned the vaccine mandates.
Yeah, I think some of the Western ones have, and I think some of the maritime provinces are protesting and things. So it remains to be seen how things play out, but we also know that we're fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places, just like Paul warned the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6. And I got another caller waiting here, too. I see we're running out of time. But let me encourage people to check out Ephesians 6, read about the spiritual battle there. Final thought there, Terry, because I had to get to the next caller here, too, before we run out of time.
Again, thank you for taking my call.
All right. Well, keep praying for you folks up in Canada. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We got Frank calling in now. Frank, welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
I want to give the Holy Scripture and the Word of Truth.
Mm-hmm.
It says, bind Solomon, but bind mercy and truth about thy neck and do not forsake them. One of the problems that we need to do in this country, okay, is a lack of faith in a higher power. What inhibits our prayers is that Jesus gave us the power of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And when people can't find scripture to bolster their faith in unconditional love for the power of forgiveness, it inhibits our prayer life to God. It puts a roadblock in front of our spiritual growth,
mm-hmm,
and our power with God. Okay, all things are possible with God. And if we don't start uniting in this country and renewing our faith, we're going to be caught in this world of confusion and technology with the technocrats and the transhumans.
Oh, yeah.
He gave us the power of forgiveness. And by forgiveness, I want to remind people that the word, Jesus spoke the word, he says, I've not come to bring peace, but a sword, to divide mother and brother and sons and daughters,
mm-hmm,
mother-in-law, and things. So when we have been so corrupted with him and don't spend time with the Lord and in his word, and getting really to getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ and his wisdom and the wisdom of Scripture and utilize it in our lives. Okay? I've come to bring a sword to divide people, but that doesn't mean we can't come together in peace and unity of one Christian faith. What's being tested is our faith in God and our knowledge and our wisdom of the word of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Which God wants to unite us in prayer. Okay? So if we want to be prayer warriors, we better get back to the basics of the word of truth.
Yeah, and a passage came to my mind when you're talking about forgiveness. One of the reasons that forgiveness is so vitally important for a Christian in order to maintain that prayer life is in Hebrews chapter 12. Let me just share this, starting in verse 14, where he says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." And then he says in verse 25, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." And I've looked at that verse there, any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and many be defiled. If we're not careful, we can become so embittered that, when we're trying to fight against evil, we're trying to, defend the word of God. And I remember hearing an older pastor say to a younger pastor one time, he said, "Be careful that you don't become that which you're fighting against." And he was also referencing this. We can be so consumed so much that we start to become bitter. And when we do, it's not only going to trouble us, it's going to affect and defile those around us. And so this is where I think you brought up the point of forgiveness is so vitally important.
Well, I also want to share Scripture, "Perfect love casts out fear."
Mm-hmm.
It says, "The bondservant shall not be heir with the servant."
Right.
I mean, the bondservant shall not be heir with the heir. We are heirs.
Right.
Of the love and the knowledge and the word of God and his power.
Amen. I appreciate that, Frank. Thanks for centering us on forgiveness and the importance of that. I want to thank everybody for listening. God bless. Have a great week. Don't give up. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com.